Sessa, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays. Unless, that is, he's running for Congress. Today is the primary in the Libertarian Party between two candidates in the 3rd District of Wisconsin. So any of you out there listening to this, I hope you'll turn out and vote. And I highly recommend Kevin, who will do more good for the district than you can possibly imagine. My special guest today is a musician, a composer, an expert in digital processing. He's done some of the best work on video fakery at the World Trade Center that anyone has ever done. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him back to the show again, Ace Baker. Ace, it's a pleasure.
Hi, Jim. Always good to be here.
Listen, where would you like to start? What I'm really interested in is going through the whole shebang with you, so you can explain to our audience, you know, how it was done and how you know how it was done, so they'll really understand for themselves. In other words, I'd like to put the members of our audience in a position where they could argue the case themselves.
Right. Well, by how it was done, how they faked the videos, why they faked the videos, and how we know.
Exactly.
They faked the videos. You start by looking at the airplane videos, and they look fake. I mean, just anybody, you might not necessarily be able to put your finger on it, but just, I mean, everybody, including the guy from the FBI that Jeff Hill called up, agree, well, they look fake. The plane enters the building, and it doesn't slow down. It doesn't twist. It doesn't bend. It doesn't break. It just slips seamlessly, effortlessly into the tower. So we're suspicious, right, you know, just right away. The two most important videos to consider when understanding that these were video composites and not a real airplane are the Chopper 5 video and the CNN ghost plane video. Now, there got to be more than 30 different airplane videos from 9/11 eventually, but only two of them were shown live. And the two live videos were Chopper 7 and Chopper 5. And the first thing that you notice about those two is that both of those two live videos have all of the compositional characteristics that are required to do live compositing. Both of them are somewhat distant shots. Both of them have a very bright sky and a very silhouetted, shadowed tower. In both shots, the appearance and disappearance of the plane is very brief. In both of those shots, you don't actually see the plane hitting the tower. Rather, it just disappears across the edge of the tower. In both cases, the plane crosses across the bright sky only. In both cases, there are no shadows. You don't see any shadows of the airplane. And so all of those things are necessary for live compositing because it's not possible to put, for example, the correct shadows into a composite live in real time. It can be very complicated to figure out where the correct shadows are going to be. They would not want to actually show the plane hitting the building because the timing of that is extremely critical. If the explosion went off even 1 millisecond before the plane hit, that would be very difficult to explain away. So The two live shots were composed very, very strategically in just such a way as to make live compositing possible. And the first thing that I will point out is that the chances of all of those compositional characteristics happening by chance on even one shot, let alone both live shots, are just astronomical. It might be possible for a mathematician type to actually put a number on what the statistical odds are of live helicopter news footage having all of those characteristics, but it's just extremely unlikely. It goes from extremely unlikely to just out and out impossible. Of course, they made, the Chopper 7 video was basically done very well, and there really isn't anything with it that you could really point to as being a mistake. With Chopper 5, they made a number of terrible mistakes. The Chopper 5 footage starts off with this big wide shot. The announcer says, as you look at the picture from our chopper now arriving at the scene, but, of course, the chopper is not arriving at the scene. He's miles away. And then they begin to zoom in. But unfortunately, we figured out that that airplane should be present in the wide shot, and it's simply not there. We were never supposed to see that wide shot. They were supposed to zoom in first, frame the shot. Then he was supposed to say, here's the shot from our chopper now arriving at the scene. Then, after the shot zooms all the way in, within one video frame, that's a 30th of a second, the plane enters the picture. Again, this is just extraordinarily unlikely to have happened by chance, but it's exactly the kind of thing you need to make sure of in live compositing, because it's impossible to composite an airplane onto a zooming shot in real time. The zoom of the camera would have to match the zoom on the airplane image, and even doing that with editing time is very, very tricky and just cannot be done in real time. And then, so they zoom in, then the airplane crosses the screen. The next thing is that the motion of the airplane is a tad bit unstable, and when you actually stabilize the video, the motion of the airplane becomes less stable, which is impossible with a real airplane, but it's exactly the kind of problem you have in trying to overlay a moving airplane image on a ever so slightly shaky helicopter shot. Then, of course, the big grandpa mistake of all, they allow the airplane image to run a little bit too long, and it appeared to pop out of the backside of the tower. And that's because of the way that it was composited is using a technique called Luma Key. Luma Key, or luminance keying, will remove everything that's very bright from the picture. That's why they had to have a very bright sky and a darker tower, because you can make the bright sky go transparent. So you have two copies of the shot, one with the sky transparent, and then in between those two, sandwiched in between, is the airplane. So when you remove the sky from the top shot, it looks like it'll just go right behind the tower. Unfortunately, you've got to get that plane stopped, as if you don't stop it on time, it'll just go and pop right out the backside.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never knew. if anybody's helping in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find,
I've changed my mind, I've opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please help me?
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett. Well, you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. I just mention again that today is Kevin's primary for the Libertarian nomination in the 3rd District in Wisconsin. And anyone here who is listening to this broadcast, I encourage you to get out and vote for Kevin. He deserves your support. He'll do good things for the district. My special guest today, Ace Baker, is describing how the fakery took place on the videos that were broadcast about the events of 9/11 and how they were composited. Ace, you might just mention to begin with here as we continue the general idea of video compositing so that our listeners have a broad framework to integrate everything else you're saying.
Very good. I mean, composite just means to put two or more images together and so that they appear to be one. Compositing has a long history. I mean, the original video composites were using movie screens where they'd have a movie screen behind an actor and they'd show some kind of a movie and then film the actor in front of that screen, and that's the sort of a composite. And a lot of old movies have that, like the scenery out of the back of a moving car is actually just a movie screen back there. Then by the 1960s, they developed chroma key compositing, which is a colored wall that's behind the actor, and either a green screen or a blue screen, and that green or blue becomes transparent and is combined with a second image. You see that on the news weather all the time to this day, and even in they still use that technique even in very high-end movies. Spider-Man had a lot of green screen technique, you can simply have computer-generated images. But the idea is that one image has part of the picture is transparent so that another image shows through. It simply means putting two or more images together so that they look like they were all shot together.
And may I assume you could have several layers, not necessarily just one, but you could have two or more.
You can have any number in the layer-based compositors like Adobe After Effects or Adobe Motion. You're limited ultimately by your amount of memory, but you can have dozens and dozens of layers. The 9/11 live composites were done in three layers. They started off with a camera shot, which was of the towers and the sky, and they copied that. So there were two identical copies of the shot of the towers. The topmost one of those two layers had the sky removed, so it was transparent. But then when you put just those two together, you can't even tell it's two. They're exactly on top of one another, and you wouldn't know that it was two put together. It just looks like one. But then the trick is that in between those two layers is an airplane. Now, the airplane is all by itself on a transparent layer. It's just an image of an airplane moving across the screen. But when you sandwich it in between those two layers, it will be, it will appear to go across, you know, behind the edge of that tower because that top tower layer has had the sky removed.
Fascinating.
So anyway, so we were talking about how we know. I'm actually putting the finishing touches on a paper, a treatise on this subject. And I've not only been researching No Planes and the video compositing, but you know, I've been requesting and even provoking review and criticism on every point. And what remains and what's going into this paper is the result of that. It's the points that have not been refuted that have up to the criticism.
Are you talking about your paper for me for the new book?
That's right. And I had sent you a copy. I've been, of course, getting all of the images into it. The copy that I sent to you didn't yet have all of the pictures. And as I go through it, there's a few little things that I've been changing. But yes, it is my chapter for your scholar's book. And I think it will, between this and I encourage everybody to read Morgan Reynolds' paper for, his chapter for your book as well, which I believe he's published in PDF form where you can look at it from his website. He tackles the cartoon physics and the impossible physics of the situation. So, but in the last segment, I had stepped through the first few data points. In total, I've got 21 data that I think have not been refuted, and they range from extremely unlikely to physically impossible if you want to consider the real airplane hypothesis. And yet all 21 of them are perfectly consistent with the video compositing hypothesis. So throughout the paper, I'm testing both of those. Right? We're going to say, was it a real plane or was it video compositing? And I'm continually testing both of those ideas against these 21 data. So I went through the 9 extraordinary compositional features, the fact that both those helicopters and the 2 live shots were slowly drifting left, no plane in the wide shot of Chopper 5, the miracle zoom, I mentioned that, Pinocchio's nose, of course, where the nose of the image pops out the backside, and I go through all of the different explanations that have been offered. It was an engine, it was a landing gear, it was a dust explosion, and none of those hold up to scrutiny, especially when you look at some of these other videos. There is another video that emerged called Gamma Press that shows the Pinocchio's nose, the nose out event from the opposite side of the tower. And in that, it looks to be like a metallic object, and it's fairly consistent with Chopper 5, but it's way too big to be an engine or a landing gear. It's very consistent with the diameter of the fuselage of an airplane. However, they discovered that there's no exit wound. That is, there's no broken steel columns in that place on the north side of Tower 2. And then when they discovered there was no exit wound, they had to go to yet another story, and they made it into a dust explosion. So, like, for example, when you see the Now Day video, it's turned into a dust explosion. So they're all inconsistent with each other.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, except today is a Libertarian primary in the 3rd District in Wisconsin. Kevin is running for Congress. I strongly endorse him. I encourage anyone who is listening to this show who has the opportunity to vote in that primary to do so and to support Kevin if that is consistent with your beliefs and motives in wanting the best possible representation for your district. Today, my special guest, Ace Baker, is discussing how video fakery was accomplished in New York in relation to
the events of 9/11. It's a fascinating story, a real piece of detective work in real life. Ace, please continue.
For the break, we were talking about how the original mistake was letting the nose of the airplane image accidentally pop out of the backside of this layer mask so that it appeared to pop out of the backside of the tower. And, of course, several of the announcers, you know, were ad-libbing on the air, and they had to say, oh, it, you know, went right through, or it appeared to go right through. And Peter Jennings said, you know, in one side and out the other. And, you know, they had to say something because they knew that lots of people saw it. In the meantime, they had to try to figure out how they were going to explain that away with other videos. And so the next generation, including that Gamma Press video, tried to make that nose out look like it was maybe a fuselage or an oversized engine. You can't really tell exactly what it might be in the Gamma Press video, but it's clearly a metallic something. It's a cylinder. It looks, you know, shiny and reflective like a fuselage, and it's the size of the airplane fuselage. I go and take a model 767 and scale it into that video and compare, and it's way, you know, the thing that pops out, it's way too big to be an engine or a landing gear. So then, as I said, they discovered that there was no broken column there, so it couldn't be any kind of a real object. So then the third generation of videos, like the Nowday video, show this nose-out event to be dust. And it's like a puff of dust explosion or something that occurs in the same spot, and they make it look like it's kind of like the shape of an airplane nose. I can't see how, you know, dust could sort of hold its shape as this object, whatever it is moving, you know, 300-400 miles an hour into the wind. And, I mean, dust is dust. I mean, it couldn't maintain its shape. Plus, then, of course, in the Gamma Press video, that metal cylinder, whatever it is, explodes into fire and disappears in less than 1 second. That's really about the only video that shows the fate of Pinocchio's nose. Now, of course, any kind of steel object, an engine or a landing gear, anything, could not burst into flame and disappear because jet fuel and stuff can't come anywhere near burning up steel and titanium. But yet this thing, whatever it is, disappears in less than a second. So then we've got the videos that show the dust explosion, but it would be nice to watch the Nowday video and see what happens to this dust explosion. Does it burst into flame like it does, you know, like the other thing does in the Gamma Press video? Well, they edited out the piece of video that would tell us that. There's a quick edit when you watch that Nowday second hit footage. And there's an edit with a sort of an unknown amount of time, maybe a second or so missing. And then you see this nosed out dust explosion, and then there's time missing, and then you see the fireball. And that is the exact point in time corresponding to the fade to black in Chopper 5. Now, of course, one of the other very suspicious things in the Chopper 5 footage is that right after that nose image pops out of the mask, the picture fades to black, and then it's black for about a half a second, and then it fades back up to picture again. Well, that's just extremely suspicious. There are no fades to black in live news. And I go through and the various explanations that have been offered for that, and just none of them hold up to any kind of scrutiny. Well, what happened was somebody realized the mistake and pulled the fader down on the console and said, whoa, just let's get rid of this. Let's black this out. But then the fact that the Nowday footage has edited out the exact same point in time where the picture goes black in Chopper 5. Why? Why? It's just completely unreasonable to do that unless you're trying to hide something. And what they're trying to hide is having to explain what happened to Pinocchio's nose. They did it in one video with this flame, but then trying to recreate this flame from various angles, it'd just be way too difficult, and it's much, much easier to just get rid of that and just cut that piece of time out. So, again, if you want to believe in the airplanes, you have to believe in these just extraordinary coincidences and these impossible things, such as the missing shadow. Now, while some of these things are just extraordinarily unlikely, a missing shadow is just downright impossible. As I had mentioned before, it's quite possible to add fake shadows to a composite, but it's not possible to do it in real time. It will be, you know, if you have a model of the tower, yeah, you know, but it's very, very tricky, and they were not prepared to add shadows in real time. Of course, the nose of the airplane was not supposed to pop out. So when we look at the Gamma Press video that shows that whatever it is, that cylinder, and we look at the Now Day video with its dust explosion, both of those videos have a very prominent shadow that reaches right across the face of that tower. And that's as it should be. There's a bright sunshine on that side of the tower, and you have this long, dark shadow that goes right diagonally across the face of that tower. But then when you look at the same point in time in the Chopper 5 video, oh, by golly, there's no shadow. Why? Well, because we weren't supposed to see that. Nose was not supposed to pop out. So you compare, these videos together, and there's different objects coming out. They don't look the same as each other, and there's no shadow in the Chopper 5 nose out. It's just impossible. And there can't be an explanation for that other than there's a very simple one. I mean, it was a video composite. That's the explanation for the missing shadow. And so you have all these problems with Chopper 5, so it's no surprise that they flushed it down the memory hole, which is another highly, highly suspicious thing. This Chopper 5 video was never replayed. They attempted one replay of it on 9/11, just a couple minutes after the event, I think about maybe 9:09 a.m. or something, and this was on CNN, decided to replay the Fox Chopper 5 footage. But they covered up the airplane with this logo. It was a big CNN logo, and so they run the footage, but you can't see the airplane because the logo's covering it up.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Kevin Barrett. Well, you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays. And today, if you're in the 3rd District, turn out and support the man if you want the best possible representation for your district. Today, I'm discussing video fakery on 9/11 in New York City with Ace Baker, who has done completely brilliant studies. Ace, at the time you think it's appropriate, I'd like for us to go to your website and look at some of the visual recordings we're talking about, some of the videos that have been presented that you are dissecting so skillfully.
Yeah, so we can, we've gone back through, Chopper 5 again, and I was just, mentioning that they had flushed it down the memory hole, both in terms of never replaying it, which if anybody just think about any news event, dramatic news event, the Rodney King beating or just anything. When they have dramatic footage, they replay it and replay it and replay it. And the notion that they would have one of the best shots of the airplane and to never replay it just tells you there's something wrong. And then, of course, when they made the official news archive on the Internet at archive.org, and they posted 3 days worth of 9/11 coverage from six different networks, the Fox footage on their archive had been replaced with completely different footage. They kept the same voiceover of Jim Ryan and Lynn Brown, the exact same voiceover, but they just flat cut different pictures from other networks in there. So it's just very, very suspicious all the way around. But we can talk about CNN ghost plane, because there's really two major points with this footage that have never been refuted. People have tried, and there just isn't any other answer to a couple of points other than video compositing. And I think, let me go to my site here for a second. If we go to acebaker.blogspot.com, and let me, I just can't remember what month a couple of these are in, but we'll talk about the magically healing columns. Hang on, I'm pulling up my my blog here for a second. Let's see, was it June? Maybe further back than that here, May.
Just scroll down.
Yeah, but I got to find out what month it's in, and then I can tell you how to get there. You can see there by, it's sorted by month over there in the right-hand column. Yeah, so in the month of March, if you turn down, you go into the month of March, and then there's a number of posts under March, but one of them is called Magically Healing Columns. And when you hit that, you'll get a a looping little animation. And actually, if you click on that, it will open up to a larger version of the same thing. And so what we're looking at, I need to explain, are a series of frames from the CNN ghost plane footage allegedly shot by Michael Hezarkhani. The first, all of the frames except for the last one occur in sequence, but the very last frame that shows the hole, the smoking hole in the side of the tower, came from later on in the video after an edit.
Are we on the Miracle Zoom, or is it another one?
No, this should be Magically Healing Columns.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I got it. Magically Healing Columns, just a little more below it. I got it.
And so this is a little animation of about 7 or 8 frames, again, that I took from Ghost Plane, and we see the plane going into the building. And then the very last frame of video is out of sequence. That came from later on in the video after an edit, but the zoom setting was the same. So what we see in the second to the last frame that I have here, we see that the wing of the plane is beyond the wall of the tower, and yet there's no big hole in the tower where that wing is. Yet in the very last frame of video, we clearly can see a big gaping hole. Reason I include that is because there have been two official explanations offered for this observation. Now, the first one was, well, the video quality is just too poor to see the hole in the side of the tower. And the last frame that I put in there refutes that. We have a frame of video from the same zoom setting, the same video, and you can easily see a big, dark, gaping hole. Where there's a hole in the tower, it's much darker. We see a great big hole. We can see broken columns. So therefore, in that spot where the right wing has gone into that tower, if there was a big gaping hole there, we would see it in that frame. So we know that something besides the wing of this airplane caused this hole, and that the hole occurred at a later point in time. The second explanation was given by Steve Wright, the video compositing expert. And as a video expert, he agreed with me that there's plenty of clarity and resolution in this video to see the hole. So he offered a very creative explanation. He said that the airplane made a very small hole. It was just small enough to fit the airplane, and that the big orange fireball explosion that occurred later enlarged the hole. And while he is a video expert, he might have bothered to consult an explosives expert because, as I've mentioned before, there's just no possible way that kerosene explosion can cut steel, which is what would have had to have happened. So here, this video looks fake to anybody. Can just if you slow it down and look at it, no parts of the airplane break off. Nothing slows down. Nothing turns. Nothing twists. This is a video composite. And again, in my theory of ghost plane or how to make a ghost plane, I recreated this pretty much exactly. It was pretty easy to do, and there's just no explanation for that wing going through there and not making a hole. They blew it. They should have put a fake explosion on top of that so it covered it up. I don't know.
Something to obfuscate the absence of the actual
hole
damage to the building, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they just, you know, and I would also point out, and this might be why they thought they could get away with this particular frame. That particular frame that I'm showing you where the wing is passed, when you take video apart, video is interlaced, meaning you get one set of scan lines, and then on the next event you get a different set of scan lines. And when you most of the time, if you just convert video from a television format, like what's on a DVD, to a digital format that you can look at on your computer, it will usually throw away every other image and make a complete frame out of one set of scan lines. But if you take it apart correctly and actually change the frame rate and double the frame rate and do some stuff, you can hold on to every single image and not throw that one away. You have what are called odd fields and even fields. One set of scan lines is an odd numbered field, and one's an even numbered field. Ordinarily that image of that wing going through there would actually be discarded, and you wouldn't necessarily see it unless you held on to all of these frames. So there just hasn't been a good explanation.
How could they, Ace? This was a mistake, a blunder on their part, and it remained in the video. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kiff and Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays. Except today, he's running in a Libertarian primary in the 3rd District in Wisconsin. If anyone here is listening and hasn't voted yet, I strongly encourage you to do so. Kevin will provide outstanding representation for the district. He's a really, truly remarkable man. Today I am featuring another truly remarkable man in the form of a musician, composer, expert on digital processing, an analyst of the videos that were shown about 9/11 in New York City and demonstrating, in my opinion, conclusively that these are the result of video compositing. His name, Ace Baker. Ace, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim.
Where should we go now? From Magically Healing Columns, would you like to say more about it or move to something else?
Well, we can move on. The other, this was, of course, from the CNN ghost plane footage. The one that the alleged videographer of that was Michael Hezirkhani. And, I'm reminded of the great phone call that Jeff Hill made to him. Of course, Jeff Hill is great. I mean, he's doing...
He's so unassuming. He's so low-key.
Yeah, no. Well, and that, he's awesome. I mean, he's doing what he's doing real journalism. Anybody who is actually interested in finding out what happened with these people would do. He's just been calling up anybody and everybody that could have had anything to do with 9/11, particularly to do with the planes, and he's just asking them the most obvious questions. And he got a hold of Michael Hezirkhani in Los Angeles. And Hezirkhani wouldn't talk. He wouldn't, he wouldn't say where he was standing when he took the video. All he could say is, my lawyer won't let me answer questions, and you have to talk to CNN, and that's it, So I include that as data in my paper because, if under the real airplane hypothesis, why wouldn't he be allowed to talk? It doesn't make any sense. It only makes sense that he has something to hide. If he was just an innocent lay person, on vacation or whatever in New York and took this very historic footage with his home, video camera, what's the big deal? Say, hey, I was in Battery Park. I was standing over here by this. I heard this. I saw this. I pointed it there. What's the big deal? The big deal is, there's no actual broadcast quality copy. There's no original quality copy of what he shot or allegedly shot. That's the big deal. They don't want him talking, and they don't want him. They don't want anybody to have access to the high quality copies of this footage. So, but and then there's really one more. There might be a number of other things with the ghost plane footage. Another major one is something that I call Raj's over-under puffball. And so if we go onto my blog, acebaker.blogspot.com, and on the right-hand side in the month of June, turn that little triangle down and find the one called Raj's over-under puffball. Raja is a... another researcher from Portugal, I believe, and he pointed out something which is very simple, but it's very, very compelling. In the ghost plane footage, the engines turn into puffballs. And when I reproduced this, I discovered really why they needed to put these puffballs in. It's because if you just let the plane slip into the building, you wonder what happens to the nose, what happens to the engines. You have to cover stuff up. Otherwise, it just looks so fake, it's not even funny.
So you got those two little knob-like things that are the puffballs. After the wing disappears in, they're still there.
Right. So, and I guess these are supposed to be, disintegrating engines or smoke or explosions or something. I don't know. But there's two puffballs right where the two engines were. In the CNN ghost plane footage, the puffball on the left wing is clearly below the wing, but when you look at the Evan Fairbanks footage, the puffball is absolutely, obviously above the wing. So I've made a little repeating back and forth little animation. If you click on it, on the picture from my blog, it'll open up into a larger version of it. This is just a mistake. The puffball is in two different places. And it's just, I show the exact same sequence of time, and there's just no question that it appears below the wing where the engine is in the CNN ghost plane shot. But in the Fairbanks footage, it's well above that left wing. So again, under the pressure of the deadline, of course, both of these footages came out on 9/11. They were not live, but Fairbanks was first shown on the evening news, so a good 8-9 hours after the event, they were had to work on that one. And then Ghost Plane was first shown around midnight on 9/11, or early in the wee hours of the day after. So a good 20 hours, maybe 18, 19, 20 hours after the event. But still, there was deadline pressure to get some of these, these money shots out there and get them on the evening news. And I just think they made a boo-boo with the puffball, And of course, it is inconsistent with a real airplane, or at least, it certainly proves the puffball was added. And it's perfectly consistent with the compositing hypothesis because they just made a mistake. Or maybe I still sort of hold out some kind of hope that, maybe one of the guys that was doing this compositing was leaving us a secret clue, a little mistake that his handlers wouldn't necessarily notice and that could be passed off as a mistake, but I don't know. Maybe it was just one of those clues left for us. I don't know. But in any case, when Evan Fairbanks was on ABC showing his footage on 9/11, he felt compelled to tell us all that the airplane disappeared, quote, like a bad special effect.
Yes. That was rather striking, wasn't it? It was like the fellow who showed up in the baseball cap to explain how the buildings had collapsed because of the intense heat generated by the jet fuel, which caused the support columns to melt and the buildings to come down.
It was very, he wasn't the only one. You're talking, that's a guy, he's like in a Harley Davidson shirt. I call him the Harley shirt shill. He sounds, his voice inflection sound extremely scripted. He sounds very much like he's reading off of a cue card and not very well, mostly due to structural damage and fire. And, it's just like.
Yeah, it's rehearsed.
It was extremely, extremely important to get the official story into people's minds early and often. Philip Hayton on BBC, when he's making the premature announcement of Building 7 falling, remember, he not only told us that building had collapsed, but he gave us the reason. He said, due to structural damage from this morning's collapses. He gave us the official explanation right along with it.
Amazing stuff. We'll be right back. Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch him here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today, Ace Baker, is taking us through an analytical investigation of video fakery on 9/11. Ace, where did we leave off? Let's see, with Rosga's over-under puffballs.
Right, and Ghost Plane. So, I have all these 21 data that I'm testing against the real airplane hypothesis and the video compositing hypothesis. All 21 of them strongly favor video compositing and really rule out a real airplane. I have broken it into categories: the live airplane videos, and especially Chopper 5, and then I do a lot on the CNN Ghost Plane. And the sort of third major category I created. It was called Missing in Action, which is just about missing data that we ought to have, and the absence of which is suspicious. We've got just broadcast quality video missing, not available, unavailable at any price. As you know, I've been trying as hard as I can to license a broadcast quality copy of Chopper 5, and it's just unavailable. And in fact, a lot of the 9/11 videos, I'd love to have better quality video of the spire, you know, when those buildings get blown up and that one, you know, huge core column section is standing and then it falls down. Some people say it just falls and there's a whole bunch of dust on it and the dust is sort of left behind in the air. Other people say, no, it actually disintegrates into dust.
Yes, I have no doubt it's the latter.
And I think it might very well be, but it sure would be nice to have the best possible quality video that we could look at.
Absolutely.
And you know, same thing with the molten metal that's pouring out of Building 2 just before they blew it up. The best quality video could give us the best color information and temperature information on that stuff, and the best chance to try to figure out what it is, and on and on. And it's just not available. And that's just weird. It ordinarily, news video is archived, and it is available to be licensed. And the fact that they won't license stuff is just...
Well, they're in business to make money, Ace. They have an obligation to their stockholders, actually, to maximize their profits. So if they're not doing it, that means they're concealing something that actually would put at risk their profit margin, possibly diminish it greatly by exposing their chicanery.
I didn't even think of that angle, but that's a good point. You know, they are absolutely partly in the business of licensing footage.
Absolutely.
They all the time. So
what their behavior is overtly absurd,
you know. And even if you know on these airplane videos, even if you know they wanted to protect the inside job notion sort of generally, but there still were real airplanes, well, there just wouldn't be a reason to conceal those airplane videos unless there was something really wrong. In fact, it'd be just the other way around. Their interest would be in showing everybody, hey, you know, look, you know, here's a higher quality copy. Look, you can see it's actually this and it's this and it's this. And so we can put these foolish ideas to rest. But no, the conceal game goes on. So, and then there's, from the video that we do have, there's missing stuff. We've got, as I mentioned before, the Now Day edit. This is in the Now Day footage of the second alleged airplane event. And there's a really brief part of time that's edited out. You can't tell exactly how much time is cut out, but it's about maybe 1 second. I can't think of any cinematic reason at all that they would cut this out. You see like up angle shot at the tower from the backside. The very bottom of the picture, you see an airplane crossing across and disappearing across the edge. And then you see that nose out event in the Now Day shot. It looks like a dust explosion or whatever. And then the camera pans down, and then there's that edit. There's missing time. But then when it comes back from the edit, we see the fireball explosion, and then there's another edit, actually. But the part they took out is exactly corresponding to the fade to black in Chopper 5, more missing data. And then there's also, now, live, CNN was showing a version of Chopper 7, and right as the plane goes across the screen and disappears across the edge, but before you see the fireball, CNN dissolves from that shot into like a close-up of the towers from the opposite side, and then they have a blackout also, right within a quarter of a second of where the Chopper 5 blackout was and where the Nowday edit is. They have black picture also. And then they dissolve back into the Chopper 7 shot. So the odds that any live video would go to black at the time of history's defining moment is just extremely unlikely. And the fact that we have two live stations that have black picture right at the exact same time or within a quarter of a second of one another is just unimaginably astronomical odds against that happening by chance. Then
so either we have this incredible array of overwhelmingly improbable coincidences, or we have deliberate manipulation, where the deliberate manipulation hypothesis confers a very high probability on just these kinds of effects.
Exactly. So I've been looking, it's like I want to find out what happened to Pinocchio's nose. If it's going to be some kind of a real something that came out of the backside of the tower, what happened to it? Now, there's another footage called Park Foreman. Park Foreman is a very interesting and mysterious video itself. It was first shown just a couple hours after the event on CNN. But they announced that they were going to show a video, and then the first time they showed Park Foreman, it wasn't a video. It was just a series of still pictures, only three of them.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host. Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, except today perhaps because he's running in the Libertarian primary in the 3rd District in Wisconsin. So if any of you out there are in that district, I encourage you strongly to get out and vote. And, of course, I recommend Kevin emphatically. He'll do you a great deal of good in Congress. My special guest today, Ace Baker, is an expert on video fakery, and we're going through a lot of studies he has done. Ace, if you're up for it, we've got a couple callers on the line who want to raise a question or two.
Great, go.
The first is Kevin from Kansas City. Kevin?
Hi, still there?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, just a quick question, gentlemen. Do you think it's possible that the conspirators laid down false leads for investigators to go down, which might explain the pod and flash footage? Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for the call. Ace, you want to address that?
Yeah, that's a great question. In general, we call that the honeypot, by the way, something that'll, lead to, a fall.
Uh-huh.
The pod, what he's talking about is that there's it kind of looks like a cylindrical growth on the bottom of the 767 as in the ghost plane footage. I really think that's just the shape of a 767. I've been with a computer model of a 767. I've been able to recreate that pod look by getting the light angle right, and I really just think it's a shadow effect. And it occurs on a real 767, and it also occurs on a computer model. So, and the flash is very interesting. Now, with both airplane hits, we see a bright flash right when the nose of the airplane appears to strike the tower. I actually think that is a real event. I think there was an explosive detonation flash right on the face of that tower, and I think that was intentional and on purpose. I think they had to have that there for the purpose of synchronizing the videos. And you've all seen the countdown before a movie, 5, 4, 3, 2, and right on 2, there's a bright flash and there's a beep. Boop. and we call that a sync pop or a two pop. And the reason that they put that little piece of footage at the beginning of a TV show that you're working on or a movie that you're working on is for synchronization. Like when I'm doing music for a production, I can do my music track and then put a little beep tone at the exact same place. And then when the picture editor gets my music file, it's very easy for them to line the music up in time correctly. Same thing with an effects shot. If he gets an effects shot back from an effects guy, they can line up that two-pop on the timeline, and they know that it's at the right place in time. I believe that flash was used as a very quick and easy way to determine where in time to position the airplane. They know that that flash is going to be the point where the nose appears to, you know, the next frame after that flash is when the nose begins to be getting erased. And so I think that was actually a real flash on the tower that they planned for.
Terrific. Excellent explanation. Our second caller is Bill from Georgia. Bill, are you there?
Good, Ace. Hi.
Bill, yes. How are you?
Lots of good information. Thank you. This may be slightly off the topic, but there's a story on the PrisonPlanet.com website today about recent revelations by Bob Woodward about the use of advanced weaponry in Iraq. I wanted you to touch on. Yeah, are you aware
of
that?
Was that the targeting business where he said they had a method for targeting the leaders of these different organizations? Or
I
something
think so.
Beyond
it had
that
to do with a number of number of assassinations.
Yeah,
but it does get into the idea.
The answer to that one, it's cell phones. They can target on the cell phones.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. This is, I think, more than that, though.
Okay.
I think it has to do with the idea that there's more than just the conventional weapons used there.
Good, Bill. Good. We'll have to do something with that. I'm glad you brought it up.
See if you can touch on that. That was the idea I got from it.
Excellent.
Reading.
And that's on Prison Planet today?
Yeah, on the front page. It's right under the
We'll do something with it. I'll try and get it posted.
What
on
is the
Scholar.
Secret killing weapon in Iraq?
Perfect.
That's the name of it.
Bill, good to hear from you.
Let you go. You too.
Thanks.
Well, I think to tie that back together with my work, I think overarching point is that the government and the military are going to avail themselves of the highest possible technology and whatever they can develop to get their job done. And just as they would use advanced weaponry in Iraq if they needed to do what they need to get done, of course they would avail themselves of video compositing if they needed to do it to get the job done. And I'm sure they considered using real airplanes on 9/11, and I'm quite sure that the engineers told them, we can't guarantee that we can target these things perfectly, and we certainly can't guarantee that they're going to penetrate the towers the way you need to pull off your illusion of this airplane that took out the two biggest, strongest buildings on Earth.
Terrific. Good. Where shall we continue?
Oh, well, let's see. So we were
on the puffballs, the flash, the pod.
Right. But just all the data that ought to be there that isn't. The broadcast quality video gone. The Nowday edit. They took that little critical little piece out. Which corresponds to the missing piece, the Fade to Black in Chopper 5. I had started to mention Park Forman about how, first of all, how strange it was that they announced they were going to show a video, and then what appears on CNN is three still frames. Now, this again, to me, is consistent with compositing, because as you create the composite and then you render the video, and it renders a frame at a time, and this system might have been rendering out, and these might have been some frames that were rendered before they had it all assembled into a video. But in any case, it eventually was a video, and a nice one. It shows the plane crossing from left to right, so it's from like Brooklyn, sort of looking west at the towers. The plane goes in. The actual explosion is kind of behind a building, but then you would be able to see the Pinocchio's nose event, and especially you would have probably a great view of the fate of Pinocchio's nose, but doggone it, if they didn't edit and cut out right then, and this was from one of the major official documentaries, might have been CNN, America Remembers, and right at that point they cut to a completely different view. Now, I know Park Forman must have kept on rolling. Well, where's his raw footage? I would really love to see what happened to Pinocchio's nose, if it was even in that. And then there's the sound in the Fairbanks video. And this is some confusion about what happened to the sound in the Evan Fairbanks video. There's no sound. When he first showed it on ABC on the evening news on 9/11, there was no sound at all. And his original story was he shot this video, and then he was made to give his video to the FBI, who then returned the footage to him, or a copy of it that had no sound on it. And then there was a different story that, no, it wasn't the FBI, it was the Port Authority. It is a different government agency, but the same thing, returned him a copy with no... Then the story changed again.
Stand by, we'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Professor, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays. Once again, for the last time, I encourage anyone in the 3rd District of Wisconsin, if you haven't got out to vote already, please do, and please consider Kevin. He'd give you outstanding representation. Concluding a conversation today with Ace Baker about video fakery in New York City. Ace, I'm fascinated by a piece at the top of the June 26 column about a submission you made to the Journal of 9/11 Studies. And I wonder if you might take us through your experience with that particular publication.
Well, about a year ago, last summer, when I first discovered that the motion of the airplane in Chopper 5 became less stable as you made the video itself more stable, published that, spoke at your Madison conference. I began shortly after that. Eric Salter wrote a criticism of that, and basically tried to say that my margin of error, or the margin of error in trying to make these kinds of measurements, was too large to say what I was trying to say, and that got published in the Journal of 9/11 Studies. And so I contacted Stephen Jones and asked that I might write a response to that. And Dr. Jones said, sure, that he would welcome a carefully researched response to that. And I spent a bunch of time and wrote basically what appears now as my rebuttal to Eric Salter's piece, which appears on my site. People can find that. But I submitted that to Dr. Jones and to Kevin Ryan, and basically never heard anything back from them. More, you know, not too long ago, I got back in touch with Dr. Jones a few months ago. And he had said he never got it, so I sent it to him again. And then I also submitted him a version of this paper that we've been talking about, the one that I wrote for your book. He again has not responded at all. Also, I should point out, I interviewed Dr. Jones And in that interview, I asked him a number of things, but one of the things I asked is if he would support my petition to get broadcast quality videos. He said, yes, that is something I would support. And however, Dr. Jones decided to withdraw his support for my petition. First, because he didn't want, what was it? I don't know. There was some reason, and I had to rewrite his little biography that appears in the petition. And which I did. I rewrote it and reposted it a different petition just for that. And then he still, you get this, he refused to then support it because I mentioned that he was a former professor of physics at BYU. He says he doesn't want Brigham Young University associated with him, or he didn't want BYU in there. And this is after I'd already reposted it and after there were already signatures on it and so forth. And I just find it very, very odd that, you know, that he's sort of denying that he was a professor at BYU.
Yeah, it's part of his history. It's not changeable. It's not a property he can relinquish, like he might change his coat or stand up or sit down. I mean, this is a permanent historical property of Steve Jones that he had that position. It's a matter of public record, and I think it's frankly absurd for him to offer that as an objection.
And I thought it was actually clever on my part. I had three sponsors or co-sponsors of this petition, one from each of the camps, so to speak, and Morgan Reynolds, a no-planer, Stephen Jones, a supposed 9/11 truther, but supporting the official story on planes, and Meta Sozin, who's the head of structural engineering at Purdue, who I also interviewed, who's also in my movie, and who, of course, supports NIST and the official story right down the line. All three of those support the petition in saying that we should have access to broadcast quality news videos. So I thought it was clever that I could get people from across the spectrum to at least agree that we should have the best quality data that are available. But that Jones would just drop out of communications completely. In our last go-round of emails, where I had sent him my latest paper and said, this is my answer to Eric Salter, please publish it. Dr. Jones asked, he floated a novel theory that perhaps some of the videos were faked and there were real planes, that they faked up some of the videos as a honeypot, sort of along the lines of the caller that called in with a question a few minutes ago. But I don't find that right. First of all, it's not possible to have live video compositing and a real flying object. People can go on my blog and look for no flying object. I've explained quite clearly with live compositing, it's not possible to cover up a real flying object in real time. Someday it will probably be possible to do that, but not in 2001.
No doubt, by the way, I've contributed to the possibility by making the logical distinction between video fakery and planes or no planes.
Right, and then there's the technical. When you're talking about an edited video where I have time to go through each frame and get everything exactly right, then I could cover up a missile or anything else with an airplane image. And again, someday it will be possible to do that kind of motion tracking reliably in real time, but it was not possible to do that in 2001. It's really not possible even today in 2008. They have motion tracking, but it's not reliable enough in real time. Then the other thing Jones was asking about was this supposed swaying of the tower. I guess the South Tower swayed back and forth right after the alleged airplane, to which I say, well, I mean, you know, a huge explosion up there would probably make the thing sway. I mean, those towers were notorious for swaying back and forth, even in just moderate wind. It was one of the things people hated about him, I understand. They'd get seasick and stuff up there. So, but and then I asked him, where was the data that NIST used to do this this study of the swaying? What was the original data? Where did they get that from?
Good.
And that's when he dropped out of communications again. So I don't know. I do want to mention real quick, just a second, there's a conference this Thursday, September 11, in Los Angeles. I'm just going to go down and have a little place at a table. I understand Sophia's going to be there, too. And I'm just going to set up a little thing and try to get maybe talk to some people and get maybe a few pre-orders on the 9/11, the Great American Psy Opera, my upcoming DVD, which is coming soon. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, I believe it's at the Emmanuel Church in the downtown area. So if you're in Southern California this Thursday, come on down and say hi.
Fantastic, Ace, fantastic. I'm delighted you and Sophia will be there. That's really terrific, and I wish you well. It sounds like your video is coming along beautifully, and I love all your work here. I think it's absolutely sensational.
Well, thanks, man. It's coming. It's laborious, but I mean, I promise a solution to 9/11. I mean, no planes really solves it, and that's the question. Maybe I'll leave you and everybody with and to rack your brain
coincidentally, that David Ray Griffin just published an article today on Op-Ed News. Was America attacked by Muslims on 9/11? To which he gives a resounding negative answer. It's a 35-page study. It's really extensive. It's a beautiful piece of work. I encourage everyone to look at it and just think how all the major pieces are fitting together here. Ace, you're making tremendous contributions, my friend. I thank you again, and I look forward to having you back, Ace. Keep up the good work.
Will do, Jim. Thank you very much.
Everyone, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo, wishing the very best to my colleague Kevin Barrett in his contest for the Libertarian nomination for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd District. Thank you all for listening.